The Christmas season is a wonderful time of year, every year. It is. And since I became a believer, it just, I can remember my first Christmas after I became a believer. I was 19. And it's interesting because I sang all the songs as a young person, and I sang in chorus at school, and they had their big choral concert and all that. But it really just didn't, the meaning just went right over my head. And I can still remember, and when we went Christmas caroling on Wednesday night, it was just so wonderful to be able to stand in public places and talk about a Savior. Talk about the Savior. And it's just, it's so exciting. And the songs are so pointed when it talks about joy to the world. The Lord has come. Let earth receive her King. Amen? And as we sing those Christmas songs, it is so descriptive of a Savior. And so every year when we celebrate Christmas, that's what it means to us. But in our world, a debate starts all the time, doesn't it? Well, what is Christmas? And what happens is, you know, we want to make sure we say Merry Christmas. And, you know, we want to call it a Christmas tree, not a holiday tree. And, you know, that's the debate. It's going on all the time. And so, and we see that. Yet, I wonder if we really understand the battle. You say, well, this is Christmas Sunday. What are you talking about? I'm just setting the table for you. I want you to think about some things first before we get to the first point. I wonder if we, better yet, even understand what Christmas is. And so to preach my sermon in one statement, you could say simply this, that Christmas can be summed up in a simple question. What child is this? That's the title of the sermon. What child is this? And so the answer, it's easy. The answer is Jesus. So let's pray and go home. Say, oh, right, look at that. Right? You say, man, my pastor got up and preached for 4 minutes today. You know better than that. You see, I think the answer is more than just Jesus. You say, oh, now the pastor's going to teach heresy. I know that. He lasted a year, and now it's coming through. Right? I think the Word of God has more to say. See, the world has answers to that question, too. That question is, what child is this? And the world answers that. They say we celebrate Christmas to celebrate Christ's birth, and that's true. They answer that question by saying he's a great man. Others say that he's a great philosopher. Others say he's a great prophet. There's other religions of the world that recognize Christ as a prophet. You can watch on TV, you can read books that are written by famous personalities, and you'll hear them echo these same words. Yet these definitions don't go far enough, and that is where all the conflict, I believe, comes into play. Well, the Word of God is very clear who this child is. The Word of God is very clear who Christ is. And so, if you look at your handout sheet, if you want to, the Word of God presents Christ as the Savior. Luke chapter 2 and verse 11, as we read the Christmas story, and I call it the Christmas dialogue because it actually happened, and it's a historical fact, and as you read all the different things, rich in, what's the word I'm looking for? In symbolism here. Mike taught Sunday school today, talked about much of the symbolism around the birth of Christ, just rich. Even the gifts that the kings came and presented, or the Magi presented, is rich in the fact that Jesus is God, that he came to die. In all of it, it's there. And yet, when you see the Christmas dialogue, the shepherds are there in the field, and the angels come, and they announce this to them, and they say in verse 11, for unto you is born this day in the city of David, what? A Savior. Just plain as can be, a Savior. The child in the manger is not just a baby. He's the Savior. Now, what we're going to look at for the next 4 or 5 points on your sheet is the different people involved and how they were plainly told that Jesus is God, that He's the Savior. A is Mary. Mary recognized Him because of the messenger of God. If you'll just turn back a page or so in your Bible to Luke chapter 1, all kinds of information. It's a wonderful story to read about the power of God, the fact that God can do anything. Here's a virgin. She's told she's going to have a baby. This angel Gabriel comes. Ladies, think about this. How bewildered would you be? It's just like, well, if you pick up here with verse 26 of chapter 1, and in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph. Now, if you'll go from there to verse 31, and behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. Now, it's very interesting. In my study Bible, down at the bottom it says, Jesus, the name means, now here's what the name means, the Lord is salvation. See, our names mean something. My mom named me David. I think it's the best name in the world. I like it. You know, I really feel for people that don't like their name, okay? And then I found out that I really like my name because David means beloved. So I'm just beloved. Right, honey? I'm beloved. Yeah, most of the time. Most of the time. There's a couple of times I'm not beloved. And so, watch this. Mary was told that his name would be Jesus, and his name, literally his name, means the Lord is salvation. If we go now to Joseph, if you go back to Matthew chapter 1 in your Bible, we have the account of Joseph. And stay there in Luke, because we're going to come back. See, look, I put my paper right in there. If you go to Matthew chapter 1, B is this. Joseph recognized him because an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and told him who the child was. If you go to Matthew chapter 1, I want you to go now to verse 20. And Joseph didn't necessarily really take the news really that good that this lady that was going to be his wife is now expecting a child. That would probably, it really put a kink in the relationship. You know, it's like, well, and you know, the Bible says he was a just man, so he was going to put her away privately. He could have made a big public deal about it, but he was just going to walk away from it, okay? And of course, you know, the power of God comes in and God takes care of the situation. How many times in our life, if we would just let God take care of situations? Amen? Sometimes we like to run ahead of God, don't we? Amen? Oh, come on. Hey, we got to get more than an amen out of that. Maybe an oh my, right? But anyways, I want you to look. Look at verse 20. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name, what's the next word? Jesus. Now watch this. Now what does God tell him, or this angel in his dream say? For he shall what? Save his people from their sins. Isn't that wonderful? Wow, this is, you know what it is? This is the Christmas story. The Christmas story is about a Savior that has come to save his people from their sins. Isn't that amazing? Wow. And so Joseph comes. Now the angels. Let's go back now to Luke chapter 2. Or what I would consider today our text verse, verse 11, where it says, for unto you is born this day in the city of David. And so who are these shepherds? Who are these people? I mean, when you read about it, I mean, I talked on this the other week, but it crosses over a little bit. But throughout the Bible, you have shepherds as it's a menial job. David was taking care of the sheep when Samuel came to anoint the new king, and he wasn't even considered for the position in his father's eyes. Moses was on the backside of the desert tending sheep. And then God got his attention through the burning bush. These shepherds are out there just doing their job. Watch this. Not anybody important in their world. Is it any wonder that 1 Corinthians chapter 1 says that for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish, perish foolishness, right? Because the world calls what I am doing today foolishness. Amen? You mean you go to church? Oh, yeah. You mean you listen to a preacher? Yeah. Well, I don't need... You ever say, I don't need that. What they're saying is, if you were as smart as I was... But watch this. So the angels come to this lowly class of people called shepherds. And what does he say? For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. Amen? That's it. That's how he was introduced to the shepherds. And then D, let's go to the Luke chapter 2 now. Let's go down to verse 25. Christ is being brought to the temple to be dedicated after their custom. It's a passage that is in the Christmas dialogue, but we don't always talk about it. And here is a fellow named Simeon, a priest. And watch this. God had revealed unto him, said by the Holy Spirit, that he would see the Lord's Christ before he died. Which, the Lord's Christ simply means anointed. He was saying you would see the Lord's anointed before you died. And so we pick up with verse 25 and says this, and behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. Watch this, verse 30. For mine eyes have seen thy, what's the next word? Salvation. What child is this? Jesus is the Savior. That's what it is. We talk about, and don't you just love this manger scene? Don't you just love? This really looks nice up here. If you're missing the PowerPoint, that's okay? But this is worth looking at. Amen? Now, I know I'm handsome, okay? I know that, but this is really nice, okay? This is something special. And so what you have there is you have a babe in the manger, but you know what? He came and became flesh so he could be like us in one aspect. But watch this. He's the Savior. That's what it all comes down to. If all he is to you today is a babe in a manger, I trust you see him as your Savior. That's what it's all about. Because he came. There's a Christmas cantata that we did up at Bakerburg called Born to Die. And there's a song written that I think, what's his name? No, Ron Hamilton wrote it. Born to die upon Calvary, Jesus suffered my sins to atone. It's a Christmas song. And so he came. And then I have another one here that I didn't list on my sheet, but I added after it was printed out. I want you to go to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. We're going to what John said. He said, John, he was there? No, he wasn't there. He's an apostle. Okay? But I'm going to read for you the shortest Christmas story. Okay? We have Luke. Luke gives us the most information. Matthew gives us another. And I think John encapsulates all the Christmas dialogue in two verses. John chapter 1 and verse 1, it says this, "And in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Skip down to verse 14, "And the Word was made flesh." There it is. That's the Christmas story. You say, well, what about the donkey? What about no room at the inn? Oh, that's all in there. It's in the original, right? But in our minds, it's the incarnate. Christ becomes flesh, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And so what we have is these five declaring to us in the Christmas dialogue that He's more than a babe in the manger. He came to be the Savior of the world. He came to be your Savior. He came to be my Savior. Amen? Isn't that wonderful? So when we celebrate Christmas, we are answering the question, what child is this? Now, number two is this. Oh, we just went through number two, didn't we? No. Here it is, number two. The Old Testament prophet Isaiah declared Him to be God. So we have the New Testament. We have the Christmas dialogue at the beginning of the New Testament, but we have now Isaiah in chapter 9 and verse 6. Excuse me. Where He says this, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon His shoulder. And His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor." Watch this. "The Mighty God." Amen? That's my Savior. That's who this babe in the manger is. He came. He came, the Savior. He comes. God wrapped in flesh. The Mighty God. The Everlasting Father. The Prince of Peace. You know why our world has no peace today? Because watch this. Even in their celebration of Christmas, they are celebrating a babe in a manger, and they are not celebrating a Savior. Amen? That's what makes us different. If you want a Christmas shop, that's okay. And you know what? I think I'm just going to go to the mall this week and just sit. And that'll be interesting. Last night we went out, it was about 9:45. I never seen so much traffic going out Route 35. Everybody's coming back, and those cars were just loaded to the hilt. Okay? And it's going to get worse and worse and worse this week, right? But you know, here's our celebration of Christmas. If you want a Christmas shop, that's fine. If you want to get a spiral ham and bake it up all sweet and stuff, just save me a little of it, okay? And that's good. You know, if you want to make some good baked corn along with that, or dried corn. Do you ever make dried corn? I'll tell you what, dried corn is just enough. That's usually Thanksgiving, but you know what? You can have that for Christmas, too. So, man, I got cranberry sauce and mashed taters and gravy. And huh? Come on, amen? Yeah, it's getting too close to lunch, okay? Yeah, you say, Pastor, let's pray. Okay. You know. But, I got talking about food. Here we go. The celebration of Christmas. And so if you want to celebrate all that, that's fine. But here's the thing. We celebrate a Savior. Amen? That's what it's all about. Don't forget that. Think about all the opportunities that this season might give to you and me to tell folks what we celebrate. You know, we'll always call it a Christmas tree here. It's safe. Amen? You came in today, I didn't say happy holidays. Get up from the pulpit. Happy holidays, everybody. No, we'll say Merry Christmas, but watch this. Let's answer the question. What child is this? And I trust you can answer that question by saying He is your Savior. See, then that leads us to number three. What is our answer? The Word of God is clear. Jesus is the Savior. And you say, well, why would you say that? Well, because everyone is called on to answer that question. I remember being in grade school. I'm not old enough. I'm not that old yet. They had a really neat thing in Freeburg the other week, and it was they had a Christmas celebration in the Borough Building, and they had the fire truck up there, and Blake was with us, and I went for a ride in the fire truck, and I didn't want to tell the guy that I was just excited as my grandson, but, you know, I didn't ride in a new fire truck. I rode in the old ones when you hung on the back, okay, and you're sitting in there, and so... And then they had all kinds of things, and in the Borough Building in Freeburg, they have a room that they've created a museum about Freeburg. And I went up there, and it was my old fourth grade classroom. Mrs. Hewitt was my teacher's name, okay? She was about this tall, and I think she probably chewed aspirin every day before she went in there, okay? You know, if you chew aspirin, it just... That's just about the way it was, okay? And what she did. Now, if you know her and you think she's a nice lady, that's okay. You weren't in fourth grade there, okay? So anyways, she always did this. They would give reading assignments, okay? And then you'd sit there and she would ask questions on the reading assignment and she wouldn't let you raise your hand. She called on you. Don't you just hate that? And I tell you what, there was more than one snowstorm in that classroom when people... Did you ever try to answer an essay question where you don't know a thing about the answer? And what, you know, when I was a teacher, I always called that a blizzard. Okay, you tried to snow the teacher in. And so, but I'll tell you what, you used to sit there and everybody was just on edge because when she called, okay, David... What is the answer to this question? You're sitting there going, fourth grade, you're, oh man, I'm going to die. And if you got it right, it's like, phew. Now watch this. The question about Jesus, everyone is called upon to answer that question. What is this child? Who is this child? That's the question. You say, well, I'm just going to go on and live my life and I'm going to... No. The Bible says, every knee shall bow, every tongue confess Christ is Lord. You say, well, that's it, Pastor. It's all taken care of. Well, watch this. You can answer that question now by receiving Him as Lord and Savior, bowing the knee now and confessing Him as Christ. Or you can stand in eternity and you will bow your knee then and confess Him as Lord, and He will say, depart from me. I never knew you. The Bible says, every knee shall bow, every tongue confess Christ as Lord today. If you know Christ, you have bowed the knee. And you are probably excited about even a message like this, where we are talking about the Savior. Maybe today you're here. You've never bowed the knee. A week ago, Larry and I went over to Nottingham, and we stopped to see Nancy Gelnett. And she's over at Nottingham. And she was sleeping, and so we tried to wake her up a little bit. And so George Boyer was just down the hall. And so I said to Larry, I said, there's a friend of mine here I want us to go see. And while Nancy's getting awake here, because we really like to talk with her and pray with her. And so we walked down the hallway, and we stopped in. George was there. And he said, well, why would I talk about that? Well, because George and I served on the deacon board at Bible Baptist Church I was on for 4 years. He was on longer than that. He served several terms. And he was, we were just good friends. And we had a lot of fun there at Bible Baptist Church. And so I introduced him to Larry. And we were talking, he was a big Philly fan and he liked the Eagles. And so, and I think he saw more Philly games than all of us added together in this room. okay? Because every time he had a chance, he drove to Philadelphia to see the Phillies, okay? Now, if you're not a Philly fan, I know you thought he wasted his time, but he didn't think he wasted his time. I didn't know. Because at that time, he was in good spirits. We joked around. From that moment till yesterday, he's standing in the presence of God right now. That's how frail, that's how quickly life can slip away from us. And you know, you say, well, this is our Christmas Sunday, Pastor. This is our celebration of Christ's birth. Yes, it is the celebration of the Savior who has come. So that when George Boyer stepped into eternity yesterday, he could meet his Savior face to face. And all the afflictions that he had in this life that brought him down to the point where he was bedfast is all gone. And he enjoys a glorified body. That's our celebration of Christmas. We're going to let the manger scene up, and you know what? Jesus did come, and he was a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, and he did grow and become a man and had a public ministry, and he was offered as the sacrificial lamb, and he died on the cross, and yes, he conquered death with his resurrection. Amen? Amen. But today, we're celebrating a Savior. I trust he's your Savior. If you don't know him as your Savior today, I beg you to come as we sing a closing hymn of invitation. If you don't want to step out and come, that's fine. See me after the service. I got a couple of deacons around here that I'd wrestle and say, talk to this person if I don't have time. But you know what? We'll make time to tell you about Jesus. Amen? But you have to come. So, the week's going to go. We'll have church tonight again. We'll come back for a candlelight service on Thursday night. But the question will still need to be answered. What child is this? Let's pray.